Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of BCT with your host Olivia. Today I am joined by Jude. Hi Jude.
Hey Liv.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm alright, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, good, thank you.
You didn't even ask.
Good, thank you. How are you, Liv? We did this in the car park.
I'm good, thanks. So guys, you are listening to a Christian podcast that enables you guys to hear all different testimonies and stories from different people in Barrington Community Church. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. So Jude, tell me a little bit about yourself, some of your interests, your hobbies, your likes, etc.
Well, we'll start with them a little bit quirky, shall we? You know, because I've come in and Liv's got a nice big supply of props up there and I've chosen the massive sunglasses to wear, so... But it's not that sunny in here. So I am Jude. Mm-hmm. I'm 38. I am married to Mark. Mm-hmm. As of 2 years ago, you were there. You looked beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And so did you.
Oh, thanks. I've got two children. Philippa mm-hmm. is 13, mm-hmm. and Phineas is 7. What was the next question? What do I do? I am an English teacher in Treorchy Comp mm-hmm. at the moment. So, you know, quite a trek for work in the morning. Mm. But, my mum and dad are also part of this church. I hear my dad is on the list to be interviewed.
Yes,
yeah. So I had to get in before him.
Cool. So let's go straight into it then. I'd love to hear when you accepted Jesus into your life.
Okay. So I was brought up in a Christian home. I've got mm-hmm. a mum, dad... two older brothers who amazingly were all Christians. And do you know what? I was thinking about it yesterday and going, I am extremely blessed. Mm. I don't know of anyone in my family who isn't a Christian. Mm. My aunt and uncle, I only have one. My cousins, my cousin's wife, my brother's wives, my nephews and nieces. Like, it's incredible. Mm. And, you know, that is really impressive. But grew up going to church every Sunday, maybe twice, three times on a Sunday. Basically, everything that happened in church, my parents were involved in. Mm. And being the youngest by quite a long way, I was always with them. Loved it. It was my life. And amazingly still is. Knew all the stories. Knew everything, was involved in everything. And then when I was about 10 or 11, we had an evangelist down speaking in our church in Porthcawl called Paul Hinton. And I have no idea what he said because I was 10 or 11 and I'm not anymore. But I went home that evening and had my tiny little tie-dye denim shorts, trying to decide, you know, I was sat on my bedroom floor, I can picture it. Do I put these in the wash? Do I not put these in the wash? Can I get one more day out of them? You know, that sort of question.
Yeah.
And I sat there and just, there was almost this shock on me of, he did it for me. Mm-hmm. And I could, like I said, I couldn't tell you what Paul had spoken about. And I knew all the stories. I knew what Jesus had done. And I wasn't like sometimes your dad speaks about people and moving from their sinful lives into their, you know, I wasn't particularly sinful. Mm. I was a child who did what her parents told most of the time and went where they told me to go. And But I'm sat on the floor going, he did it for me. He did it for me. Mm. And I was crying. So my dad comes upstairs. Jude, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And I'm just sitting there going, he did it for me. He did it for me. And my dad is the realization then of what I'm talking about. And he starts crying. And then my mum comes up and he's going, what's the matter with you two? And then she starts crying. And I just remember us all sitting on my bed and just my dad with his arm around me on one side and my mum with her arms around me on the other side. And we're all just sitting there crying because this sudden realization of he did it for me. Mm. So I guess that was the moment where I fully accepted what he'd done. But it wasn't like a Damascus Road moment because I wasn't a particularly terrible 10-year-old. Mm. Yeah.
Amazing. So, you know, we're humans. We go through difficult situations and trials and everything in life, don't we?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone who may be going through a really difficult and horrible situation?
Hold on. That, you know, that's the first thing. Being a Christian isn't easy.
Mm.
You know, the Bible almost promises that, that, you know, we're taking the narrow road.
Mm.
But Jesus is there. He's with you. He's got you. And that's something that I've really noticed through my life. I haven't had any time away from church.
Mm.
I have gone to church, for want of a better word, religiously. because I want to, not because I feel like I have to. I want to.
Mm.
It hurts if I'm not here. And yeah, there's... So I'm a literature geek, and I wrote my dissertation for my undergrad on gospel imagery in fictional writing, and one of them was The Lord of the Rings. And there's, you know, there's three different people you could class as almost a Jesus figure in that, but one of them is Strider Aragorn. Don't know if you've seen them.
No, I haven't.
Geeking out, yeah. But Bilbo Baggins writes a riddle about him, and one of the lines in that is, "Deep roots are not reached by the frost." And that has always struck me. And you've got a lovely tree there. And I draw trees all the time because they really, I don't know, they speak to me, not in a weird way. but the deep roots, the idea of I am rooted in Jesus and therefore there's nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to the bit on the surface, but the roots are safe because they're in Jesus. And the frost is on the surface level, but it can't get underground. And you know, that as always, that's when I found that quote when I was first reading Lord of the Rings and was just like, that's amazing. Mm. I've, you know, there's two Bible verses, aren't there? There's 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon me, upon him because he cares for you. There's again, then Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Instead, you know, go into prayer, battle for what it is, give it to God. And it doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to take the problem away, but he'll be with you and he'll stand there beside you. And, you know, we moved to this church 6 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. It's gone fast.
I know. You were a child then. It was cute. but yeah, we moved here 6 years ago and I never thought we'd leave the church we were in before. But God had a plan and God knew what was going to happen. And he'd almost set it up before what made us leave actually had started. And coming here, and I knew people, you know, Ben Buckley, Steve Dennis, I was in school with. They were my friends.
Oh, really?
John Buckley was my teacher.
Yeah.
I'd known your dad. John had brought your dad in to do some Christian unions in school.
Oh, really?
Dave Dennis I'd known because he'd come and preached at our old church. It was, you know, crazy. Yeah. And now I've made friends here that I feel like I've had all my life. And my kids love it here. And my kids, I've gone totally off track. But yeah, really, if you've got Jesus, hold on to him. Lean into him. Wrap yourself up in him. That's what he wants. He wants us to just... say, God, I'm going through some really hard times. Just be with me. And then let him be with you. That's the hard one, is letting him do it.
And letting him take over as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw something on Facebook yesterday. What was it? It might have been a T-shirt on Shein or something. You know, God is still writing your story. Stop trying to take the pen.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that works.
Slaps you in the face like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in charge of this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, so how can then you show God working in your life and your faithfulness and the faithfulness of the goodness of God to your friends and your family who may be Christians or may not be Christians?
Again, I guess just living for him and showing that.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know it's hard. You're a teenager.
Yeah.
Life as a teenager is hard enough without being a Christian teenager. And it, yeah, just sacrificing some part of your life, some part of your day to him, and then telling other people about it. And it is much easier said than done. You know, for instance, you asked me, well, I remember coming up to you you were on Welcome
a
couple of months ago, back in September, and I said to you, Liv, I'm really loving these podcasts. And you went, oh, will you do one? And I went, yeah. And then you sent me these questions in September, and it is now mid-April, and we're doing it. But I was sat in church this morning and just felt God saying, today, Jude, do it today. And I found you straight after the service, and here we are. Yeah, I'm really glad that I have, because it's nowhere near as terrifying as I thought it was, because it's you.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad.
But, you know, going through tough times and going through ups and downs, which we all inevitably will, we come out of them. Mm-hmm. We all come out of them.
Yeah.
And telling people, telling people that how we've come out of them, how God has helped us through these times, what God has done for us in these times. We had we had house group on Wednesday night, mm-hmm. and Phil Brown was talking. We were looking at John 21, and when Jesus is on the seashore and he's calling to the fishermen, and they hadn't caught anything all night, and then they had to move their nets over to the other side, and then he's calling them over, and he's already got breakfast cooking for them, and they don't know who he is to begin with, and then they're like, oh my gosh, it's you, it's after he's risen. And you know what it comes down to, he just wants to have breakfast with his friends. He loves them and they love him. And he just wants us to be with him in his presence and just sit at his feet. And then I was reminded of a song by a singer-songwriter called Noel Richards, who was around when I was a kid. And it was just running around my head all the time we were in house group. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything because we were all busy about other things. But in the back of my mind, this was the song. And it just says, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire. And it's been in my head every day since. And it's a really old, really... Yeah, it's not a song that, like, I'd choose to listen to on the whole, but those words, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, and God's love will surround us, and it does make us complete. And that really spoke to me. And I thought, you know, I've been going through some hard things recently, and I just needed to be in God's presence, because he never moves. It's me who moves away. And I needed to focus my life back on him. So I was driving home from here on Wednesday night and just praying and saying, Lord, you know, there are things in my life that I need to let go of. There are things that I do that aren't necessarily pleasing to you. You know, there are things that are affecting my physical health, affecting my mental health, and just help me to know how to categorize them and where to put them and what emphasis to put on them. And and then I didn't really think about it much more than that. And Wednesday night I went to bed. Thursday morning woke up absolutely normal, thinking nothing of it. And then as I was driving to work, I remembered a dream I'd had. And it was really quite odd. And I remember I was voice noting Chloe when I got to work, because I was like so excited and just telling her everything about this dream and how I felt. And, you know, later on she sent me a video back saying how much she could hear the spirit in that. And that really encouraged me. But it was, so this dream, I don't know where we were, but I was worshipping, but my work colleagues were with me.
Okay.
And... yeah, really random. And as at the end, one of my work colleagues, a good friend of mine, said to me in this dream, Jude, we knew you were a Christian, but you're here today and you're all arms up, praising God, but you don't do that every day. And you know what? That hit me like a ton of bricks. It was almost the, well, you're talking the talk, but you're not really walking the walk. And I was like, oh my gosh. They all know I'm a Christian. They all know that. I talk about it. I'm open about it. They know I get uncomfortable when they say certain things or certain topics come up.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm in the staff room moaning like everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, my language might not be the best. And I really felt God saying, you know, Jude, now you've been questioned. This is the question that you've been asked by one of your colleagues. It wasn't actually, because it was in a dream.
Yeah, but...
But I think it took him, God putting him in my dream, for me to go, wow.
Mm.
And then from that point, I've really noticed a difference in my work life and in my life. So I spend my time with Jesus in the morning on my drive to work. It's about 45, 50 minutes. And I listen to one of these podcasts. I've run out now. So I'm going to... Your mum's promised me a new podcast that she's going to send to me. But I listen to a podcast. I sing some worship songs and I pray. And I find praying in the car is my best time to pray because I will just talk to him.
Mm.
And I drive over some beautiful mountains on my way to work and I'm just like, wow, you know, gosh, you made all of this and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to work and everyone's like, hi.
Yeah.
Feels like only 5 minutes ago we were here. And this week I've walked in going, hi guys, you okay? How was your evening? How did you sleep? And I've really noticed a change in me.
Mm.
And God has, like released me from certain behaviours I was showing in work that I didn't realise had a hold on me.
Mm.
And a really random one, I have an addiction to Pepsi Max.
Don't we all?
Not anymore.
Oh.
So I could mainline a 2 litre bottle a day. Now, one,
wow.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
But I would find myself driving home from work going, where's the next corner shop? Where's the next corner shop? Where can I stop?
Wow.
So it really was, I really feel it was like an addiction.
Yeah.
And I would be, where's the next shop? Where can I stop? And I'd stop at these corner shops and I wouldn't just buy a bottle of Pepsi Max. It would be a little one. It wouldn't be, I couldn't drink 2 litres while I was driving. No, I couldn't. But I'd buy a little one, but I'd also buy a big bar of chocolate. And I'd eat the bar of chocolate and drink the bottle of Pepsi Max on my way home.
Mm.
Every day, pretty much. I'd be like, find myself almost praying that there'd be a parking space outside the corner shops. And this week, I've been like, we're going to Florida in the summer. Have I told you? I might have mentioned that once or twice. But I'm like, I'd like to lose some weight to go to Florida. My weight affects my mental health. Obviously, it affects my physical health.
Mm.
But on the whole, I'm so busy, I haven't got time to even think. But this week, it's been like, I said to myself, right, I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm not going to drink Pepsi Max. Because save some money for Florida. And, that's two things that I think have got some sort of hold on me.
Mm.
And you know what? I haven't even wanted chocolate this week. Well, that's totally abnormal for me.
Mm.
Pepsi Max? Nope. Doesn't even... I saw someone in school the other day. There was someone in my class who had 3 cans of Pepsi Max on the table. And I just was like, yeah.
Mm.
And it really feels... So now on my drives home, when I go past those, and there's about 5 or 6 corner shops I pass directly, and I'm like thanking God for the fact that I don't have to go in.
Mm.
And I know it's a weird addiction to have had, but I do feel like that has released me. And we've gone totally off the questions you asked, but God did that to me this week. And I think that's worth shouting about.
Yeah, you can do anything, can't you?
Amazing.
Okay, final bit then. Why do you think, touching on a little bit what you said, why do you think someone should start to believe in, no, not just believe in God, but start to love him and live their life in glory of him?
Because he's incredible. we were talking in the car, weren't we? He's good all the time.
Yeah.
He's good. He's great. He's amazing. He's incredible. He's awesome.
Yeah.
We suck. I don't know any other reason than that. He is just, he's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed this week, I can feel it in my cheeks.
Mm.
I am smiling a lot more this week. I'm a smiley person, you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm smiling a lot more this week. Quite often by the end of church, once you've been here for 2 hours and someone goes over and goes, hi, how are you? And you're like, yeah, I'm okay, thanks. Because you're really thinking, I really could do with going home now.
I'm hungry.
I've got work to do. The sun's shining, I need to put the washing out. Anything like that. But because he can do anything, and because without him we're doomed.
Mm, yeah.
It's not even, that's not even like blasé. That's, we are, without God, we're doomed.
We're nothing.
Yeah. What's the point?
Mm.
How do people get through life without him? Give in.
Yeah, what's the purpose? Like,
he loves you.
Yeah.
And the only reason you're here is because he loves you.
Yeah.
And he loves us so much he died for us. And I just think, oh my gosh, what else do you need? Like, seriously, he didn't just, like, rescue your shopping when you let go of your trolley. He died for you.
And didn't just die, he suffered.
Yeah. With my name and your name. And, oh.
Shivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're unworthy of his love, really.
Totally. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, though, for coming on, Jude.
I feel like I've gone on so many tangents, but I'm also
Yeah, yeah, you got so much emotion you want to share.
Yeah, can I share my favourite quote?
Please do.
So this is C.S. Lewis, so okay, the Narnia Chronicles. Mm-hmm. In Prince Caspian, Lucy meets Aslan and she's like, oh my gosh, you're bigger. And Aslan replies with, like, you know, that's because you're older. And she says, what, not because you are? And his response kind of floors me in going, you know, I'm not, but every year that you grow, you will find me bigger. And I think it's true. I know it's true for you, and it's definitely been true for me. But as you grow, as we get older and we learn more, mm-hmm. you know, we've got a whole 52 more weeks of listening to your dad, which is a good thing, by the way. but we grow to know him more. So he's bigger, and we find out there are more and more facets to him. And he's just so much more incredible than we thought he was last year. And next year, I'm just so excited to see how much bigger he is then. And yeah, thanks.
I love that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't me. I said thanks then, like, oh, you're welcome.
You found it.
I'm just a bit of a geek. Yeah.
You sourced it out.
I did.
Yeah, I really like that. You have to send that to me. It's a good reminder.
Well, just read Prince Caspian.
Well.
Oh, come on.
Oh, thanks anyway, Jude. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of VCT. Let us know your thoughts on this episode and what other things you want us to hear to discuss and talk about for your benefit. Yeah, thanks. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us, whatever. Bye for now.
Bye.